but to take surgical operations upon warders of Sing Sing prison, and the loss of rectitude by lace curtains, and the vanishing man of Berlin, Typhoid Mary, and a Chinese hair clipper, and explosions of coal, and bodies on benches in a Harlem park. Robert Browning's conception was to take three sounds, and make, not a fourth, but a star. Out of seven colors, not to lay on daubs, but to paint a picture. Out of 7 million Americans, Russians, Germans, Irishmen, Italians, and on, so long as geography holds out, not to pile a population, but to organize more or less into New York City. Sulfur and lava in a barren plain, and a salty block of stone, shaped roughly like a woman, signs of erosion on rocks far above water level, a meteor that had set a bush afire, the differences of languages of peoples and all the other elements that organized into Genesis. Data of variations and heredity and adaptations, of multiplications and of checks and of the doctrine of Malthus, of acquired characters and of transmissions, and they organized into the origin of species. Just as, once upon a time, minerals that had affinity for one another came together and took on geometrical appearances. But a crystal is not supposed to be either a prohibition or an anti-prohibition argument. I know of a crystal of quartz that weighs several hundred pounds. But it has not been mistaken for propaganda. Or all theories theological, scientific, philosophical, and that they represent the same organizing process, but that self-conscious theorists, instead of recognizing that thought forms were appearing in their minds, as in wider existence have appeared crystalline constructions, have believed that it was immortal truth that they were conceiving. Oxygen and sulfur and carbon. Or Emma Piggott and Ambrose Small and Rose Smith. Or let's have just a little, minor expression, or organization, a small composition, arranging the data of poltergeist girls. The elements of the synthesis are moving objects, fires, girls in strange surroundings, youth, and the atavism of youth. Case of Jenny Bramwell, she was an adopted daughter. The Antigonish girl was an adopted daughter. See the DAG case, adopted daughter. Adoption is a good deal of a disguise for getting little girls to work for not much more than nothing. It is not so much that so many poltergeist girls have been housemaids and adopted daughters, as that so many of them have been not in their own homes, lost and helpless youngsters, under hard taskmasters, in strange surroundings. Or the first uncertain and precarious appearances of human beings upon this earth, and a need for them, and a fostering, a nurturing, a protection, far different from conditions in these swarming times, when the need is for eliminations. A lost child in primordial woods, and the value of her, which no genius, king, or leveler of kings, has today. That objects moved in her presence, fruits of trees that came down from the trees and set themselves beside her, the shaking of bushes that cast, to her, berries then night and coldness, faggots, joining twigs, and dancing around her, heaping the crackling of flames to warm her. Or that, to this day, grotesque capers of chairs, the antics of sofas, and the seeming wantonness of flames are survivals of cooperations that once upon a time moved even the trees, when a child was lost in a forest. The old mathematicians had this aesthetic appraisal of their thoughts, they wrought theorems and calculi for elegance, and were scornful of uses. But virtually everything that they produced for elegance was put to work by astronomers, navigators, surveyors. I assemble, compositionally, what I call data, but I am much depressed, perhaps, fearing that they have meaning outside themselves, or may be useful. There is, upon this earth, today, at least one artist. Professor Albert Einstein put together, into what he called one organic whole, such a diversity of elements as electromagnetic waves and irregularities in the motions of the planet Mercury, the fall of a stone from a train to an embankment, the geometry of hyperspace, and accelerated coordinate systems, and Lorentz transformations, and the displacements of stars during eclipses. And the exploitation of everything by something, or, more or less remotely, by everything else, the need of astronomers for Einsteinism, because it was so encouragingly unintelligible, whereas schoolboys were beginning to pick Newtonism to pieces, and in the year 1918 it was announced that the useful Einstein had predicted displacements of stars, according to his theory, and that his predictions had been confirmed. For purposes of renewed confirmation, or maybe in innocence of trying to confirm anything, or at least not consciously intending to observe whatever was wanted, an expedition was sent by Lick Observatory to report upon the displacement of stars during the solar eclipse of October, 1922. The astronomers of this expedition agreed that the displacements of stars confirmed Einstein, the prophet. Einstein was said to be useful, and, in California, school children, dressed in white, sang unto him kindred unintelligibilities. In New York, mounted policemen roughly held back crowds from him, just as he, to make his system of thoughts, had clubbed many astronomical data into insensibility. He had taken into his system of thoughts irregularities of the planet Mercury, but had left out irregularities of the planet Venus. Crowds took him into their holiday making, but omitted asking what it was all about. Upon June 12, 1931, Professor Erwin Freundlicher reported to the Physics Association of Berlin that, according to his observations, during the eclipse of May 9, 1929, stars were not displaced, as, according to Einstein, they should be, or that, outside itself, Einsteinism is meaningless. There was no excitement over this tragedy, or comedy, because this Earth's intellectuals, mostly, take notice only when they're told to take notice, and to orthodoxy it seemed wisest that this Earth's thinkers should not think about this. Professor Freundlicher explained the astronomers of the Lick expedition, quite as I explain all astronomers. He gave his opinion that they had confirmed Einstein because they had left out of consideration observations that did not fit in with the results that they wanted to obtain. If there be much more of such agreements with me, I shall have to hunt me some new heresies. For an account of Professor Freundlicher's report, see the New York Herald Tribune, June 14, 1931. Outside itself, Einsteinism has no meaning. As a worthless thing, as an unrelated thing, its state is that of which artists have dreamed, in their quest for absoluteness, the dream of art for art's sake. Up to December 6, 1931, I thought of Professor Einstein's theories as almost alone, or as representing almost sublime worthlessness. But New York Times, December 6, 1931, scientists of the University of California, experimenting upon an admixture of phosphorus in the food of swine, were developing luminous pigs. Just what they will be good for has not yet been announced. Mine is a dream of being not worth a displaced star to anybody. I protest that with the elements of this book my only motive is compositional, but comes the suspicion that I protest too much. There has been a gathering of suggestions that there are subtler rays than anything that is known in radioactivity, and that they may be developed into usefulness. The Ascot Cup and the Dublin Jewels and, if they were switched away by a means of transportation now not commonly known, a common knowledge may be developed to enormous advantage in commercial and recreational and explorative transportations. In the period of my writing of this book, Californian scientists were trying to make pigs shine at night. Another scientist, who could not yet announce much usefulness, was feeding skimmed milk to huckleberries. For all I know, one of us may revolutionize something or another. 17. London Daily Chronicle, March 30, 1922. It is incredible, but nothing has been heard of Holding. For 3 weeks a search had been going on: cyclists, police, farmers, people from villages. At 10:30, morning of the 7th of March, 1922, Flying Officer B. Holding had set out from an aerodrome, near Chester, England, upon what was intended by him to be a short flight in Wales. About 11 o'clock, he was seen, near Llangollen, Wales, turning back, heading back toward Chester. Holding disappeared far from the sea, and he disappeared over a densely populated land. One of my jobs was that of looking over 6 London newspapers for the years 1919 to 1926, and it is improbable that anything was learned of what became of Holding, later, without my knowing of it. I haven't a datum upon which to speculate, in the Holding mystery, but now I have a story of two men, whose track on land stopped as abruptly as stopped Holding's track in the sky, And this time I note an additional circumstance. The story of these men is laid in a surrounding of hates of the intensity of Oriental fanaticism. Upon July 24, 1924, at a time of Arab hostility, Flight Lieutenant W.T. Day and Pilot Officer D.R. Stewart were sent from British headquarters, upon an ordinary reconnaissance over a desert in Mesopotamia. According to schedule, they would not be absent more than several hours. I take this account from the London Sunday Express, September 21, 28, 1924. The men did not return, and they were searched for. The plane was soon found, in the desert. Why it should have landed was a problem. There was some petrol left in the tank. There was nothing wrong with the craft. It was, in fact, flown back to the aerodrome. But the men were missing. So far as can be ascertained, they encountered no meteorological conditions that might have forced them to land. There were no marks to indicate that the plane had been shot at. There may be some way, at present very exclusively known, of picking an aeroplane out of the sky. According to the rest of this story, there may be some such way of picking men out of a desert.